The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, April 24th, 2025. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, Heartland Community College, $7 million in Projects Planned, by Matus Janik. Normal. Nearly $7 million in projects are planned for the coming months at Heartland Community College. The college's Board of Trustees on Tuesday approved four separate facilities project bids that account for $6,988,827. The projects include a mile-long trail connecting Constitution Trail and the east side of campus, as well as upgrades for the Workforce Development and Student Center, and significant technology investments in the Instruction Commons North building. Berkey Pond Trail Project. The bids included one for the mile-long trail project called the Country Financial Trail on the east side of campus, which will wrap around Berkey Pond and extend the Constitution Trail on Robb Road. The project was bid out to Stark Construction of Bloomington for $1,384,100. It will be completed over this spring and summer, and the scope includes a new paved bike path around the north side of Berkey, as well as a variety of amenities like a pavilion shelter, fishing piers, bird watching blinds, and a pedestrian bridge. In addition, a tiered outdoor classroom will be built, accessible from Vermilion Way. The College and Country Financial announced plans for the newly named and restored path back in November 2024 at Country Financial's headquarters in Bloomington. Naming of the Berkey Family Pond Overlook was also approved by the board ahead of a groundbreaking ceremony for the trail on Wednesday. The naming is related to a Heartland Foundation donation for the trail project. Workforce Development Student Center. The other bids included the second phase of the Workforce Development Center, WDC, and the Student Center project for $2,749,238. The Instruction Commons North, ICN, networking project for $2,315,422, and the WDC and Student Center exterior paint project for $540,067. All three projects were bid out to Core Construction of Bloomington and will start this spring and summer, with the WDC and ICN projects to be completed by December 31, 2025. The exterior paint project will be completed by the end of the summer, and the board will introduce the next phase. The WDC and Student Center project will include the creation of a wellness room, as well as a food pantry and clothing closet, along with updating spaces for student counseling services and esports, and a third-floor student lounge overlooking the atrium. The board also approved the naming of the Steve and Patty McManus Student Leadership Room in the WDC and Student Center. Steve and Patty McManus were recognized last year with the college's President's Medallion, awarded annually to those who work to increase educational opportunities in the community. Steve McManus is a past chairman of the Heartland Community College Foundation, whose work helped raise some $7 million for scholarships. The ICN networking project will include the creation of two new networking labs with a server room showcasing the technology. A new AutoCAD lab, Business Tech Lab, and Math Success Center will be created, along with updated corridors on both levels. The WDC and student and ICN networking projects were previously approved by the board and included in the college's facilities master plan. The paint project was also approved by the board as part of deferred maintenance for 2025. And next we have another Heartland story headlined, Heartland Seats Three Trustees by Matus Janik. Normal. The Heartland Community College Board reseated two members and welcomed newcomer Lori Bergner, reflecting results of last month's election. Four candidates ran for the three seats up in this year's election, each for six-year terms. Incumbent board members Janet Hood and Thomas Witt were reelected with 10,754 votes and 8,488 votes, respectively. Witt tallied about 200 more ballots than the fourth highest total, that of challenger David Seltzer, with 8,284. Bergner, elected with 10,278 votes, fills the seat vacated by long-term trustee Jeffrey Flessner, who resigned from his expiring term in December 2024. Pontiac Township High School District 90 Superintendent John Kilgore, who was appointed to fill the remainder of Flessner's seat until this April, was thanked by the board for his service. The board also appointed officers, Becky Rapp as chair, Hood as vice chair, and Joshua Crockett as secretary. Witt was appointed as the representative to the Illinois Community College Trustees Association, and Noah Lamb, Vice President for Finance and Administration, was appointed as Treasurer. New student trustee joins board. Iman Lopiak was elected as the board's student trustee following student elections earlier this month. Lopiak, who is studying computer science, served as the Student Government Association president for the 2024-25 term, and will represent students on the board for the upcoming term, which runs for a year starting this month. As a student trustee, Lopiak can make and second motions and attend executive sessions, but he will be a non-voting member. As such, his position is not considered in determining a quorum for board action. Lopiak, an international student from Kenya who moved to the United States in 2019, said he looks forward to building on the relationship between students on Heartland's campus and other neighboring colleges, as well as advocating for legislation that would allow community colleges to offer four-year bachelor's degree programs. I'm excited to work with the new SGA and to work with the board and strengthen the relationship between the student body and the Board of Trustees, Lopiak said. Lopiak will fill the seat vacated by Austin Koch, who served as student trustee from April 2024 through this month. Koch is set to graduate from Heartland this spring and plans to transfer to either the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign or the University of Illinois Chicago to study political science. Everybody at Heartland has been super welcoming, Koch said. I've had nothing but a great experience, and it's made me a better human being. I never thought I would get into this role, but it's the best thing that's ever happened. The next local story is entitled, Fire Crews Install Smart Burners, by Olivia Jacobs. Bloomington. The Bloomington Fire Department, along with 50 State Farm volunteers, installed 58 sets of new smart burners for residents' stovetops this week. The effort was part of an initiative to reduce cooking-related fires and improve resident safety, according to a news release. Smart burner technology was installed Tuesday morning at Sunnyside Apartments and Mayor's Manor. Smart Burner was developed by Pioneer Technology and is a UL-listed replaced for traditional coil stovetop burners, using temperature-limiting technology to prevent the high heat that causes most cooking fires without requiring any behavior change from residents, according to a news release. Part of our core mission is to make our communities safer, and fire prevention is one of the most effective ways to do that, Fire Chief Corey Matheny said in a prepared statement. Smart Burner helps us significantly reduce cooking fire risks, especially in vulnerable housing environments where the risk is highest. By installing these burners, the fire department aims to reduce emergency calls to housing communities, protect seniors, families, and vulnerable residents from cooking fires, lower the long-term cost of fire damage and false alarms for the city and housing providers, and reduce long-term homelessness because of a cooking fire, according to a news release. And here's a story from the front page headlined, Home and Garden, Growing Interest. Locals dig into growing their own fruits, vegetables, and herbs. By D. Jack Alkier. Bloomington. When she and her partner moved into their Bloomington home 3 years ago, Michaela Harris had little experience growing a vegetable garden. After she and Barbara Dermontate created a small garden and grew cucumbers, tomatoes, and peppers the last 2 years, though, Harris has had a change of heart. We'd like to do carrots, kale, onions, cucumbers, and tomatoes still, Harris said, while sitting in their living room. Spinach, peas, Dermontate added. We're going to build an herb spiral this year, Harris said. An herb spiral is a raised mound for growing herbs like lemongrass, basil, thyme, rosemary, sage, and lavender. Growing interest. Gardening for food production has been a growing trend among young gardeners, said Chad Jones, who purchased Growing Grounds in Bloomington earlier this year. In the last several years, and now also, there is an increase in wanting to grow not only your own food yourself, but in trying to have maybe a healthier alternative by doing some of that yourself, Jones said. It's always been a very, very small percentage of people, but that percentage is growing, he added. Some of the interest in homesteading, some of the interest in trying to get your own food to buy local, there has been an increase. Kyan Glenn, owner of the Table Farm and Workshop in Bentown, has seen a similar jump in new food-based gardening for a variety of reasons. A lot of the new gardeners that I see do say things like, I want to grow my own food because I don't trust the food production system, whether that be the use of pesticides and herbicides or for economic frugality, he said. In fact, that is the reason Kyan Glenn left his career as a pastor in the Chicagoland area to become a farmer, not only to feed his family, but to help others too, he said. I want to feed the world. I want to feed my community. I want to share that value of good food that will heal you, not hurt you, with my local community, Glenn said. Let's do it ourselves. Younger people have become disillusioned with modern agriculture's industrial means of producing fruits and vegetables, said Derek Dirtle, co-owner of Casey's Garden Shop and Florist in Bloomington. Dirtle, who is in his early 30s, said he believes this started with his generation. It stems from one thing, like as millennials, we only eat non-GMO organic food from the grocery store, or we go to Trader Joe's and get all that stuff. Now I feel like, you know, let's do it ourselves. Let's be pioneers again, he said. But there are barriers to that lifestyle, said Kelsey Dirtle, his wife and co-owner of Casey's. But you have to have the space to do it, she interjected. Not only space, but time, her husband added. Because plants don't grow tomorrow, he said. It takes 2 to 3 months to get, you know, fruit from a tomato plant. It's like, I feel like it is something that you learn how to be patient. That was beautiful, his wife said, laughing. But gardening also acts as a release for people from the busy goings-on of everyday life, said Lee Niepagan of Wendell Niepagan Greenhouses in Bloomington. He is the fourth generation of Niepagans to run the store. It's one of their only escapes, you know, so really, the last 10 years, I've been surprised at the number of younger people that are taking an interest in it, he said. That shift has led to changes in products offered, as well as gardening practices, said Ryan Niepagan, assistant manager and fifth generation Niepagan at the greenhouse. 10-15 years ago, it was, how do we get these young people and how do we tailor our product line, our marketing, all that stuff, he said. I don't know whether it was a combination of just cultural shifts, but I think it's paying off. The variety of organic products like fertilizer carried at Casey's has increased immensely in that time, Derek Dirtle said. We have double or triple the amount of organic gardening supplies than what we had 10-15 years ago, for sure, he said. Slowing down. Deanna Frouchy and her husband, Alan Bedell, have lived on Bloomington's south side for decades. Every spring, Bedell determines how much food they will need to grow for themselves, he said. Then I usually double it so I have extra, and if we have a bad year, we still have enough to eat, he said. Bedell said he always grows cherry tomatoes for his wife, even though he does not particularly enjoy them. One of the biggest things that we like to do is to have overabundance and just give it away, Bedell said. Just walk up and down the road with 2 5-gallon buckets full of tomatoes and just pass them out. However, the end result is not necessarily the only purpose for growing his own food, he said. I used to think that gardening was a way to relieve stress, Bedell said. You can go out in a garden with a hoe and take out all that aggravation on the weeds and feel better when you're done. It can also teach valuable skills like patience, he said. Everybody would love to have the first tomato by the middle of June, but planting too early, you risk the Illinois frost, and frost kills tomato plants very quick, Bedell said. Growing food can also be a meditative, almost spiritual process, Harris said. There is something different, I think, about getting your hands in the dirt and watching something grow from seedling to something that you eat, and it provides your body with nourishment, she said. Just having to continuously go out there and care for the plants, there is just something that is very spiritual about that. At the same time, though, the ability to have a garden of your own is not available to everyone, especially if they are limited on time and space, Germontate said. It's a privilege to slow down. There's a lot of people that don't have that kind of opportunity to do so, she said. For many people, getting their fruits and vegetables from the supermarket is the only option, she said. Some people have 2 jobs. 2 full-time jobs, and they can't garden. So I think it's a privilege, Dermontate said, and I'm personally grateful to be able to do that. Try again. Even if space is an issue, even if time is tight, folks like Glenn and the Dirtles encourage everyone to try their hands at growing the food they eat. Container gardening is nice for people that don't have that space, Derek Dirtle said. If you don't have a house, like I've helped people that have apartments, and they literally just have a balcony that they grow their tomato on. While there are community gardens in the area where people can rent a plot for the season, they sell out quickly and are already sold out for this year. Another option is the Refuge Food Forest at 1 Normal Plaza in Normal. The forest is open to the public, and any produce there is free to pick and take home. People can also volunteer at the forest by weeding or harvesting. Places like Casey's, Growing Grounds, and Nepagans have the supplies and the skills to help new and experienced gardeners wherever and however they choose to grow. The biggest thing, though, is to not fear failure, Glenn said. Try again, he said. Definitely try again. Don't give up. Every time you grow, you learn more than you realized you could. The next local story is entitled Workers Memorial Day Event Monday by Olivia Jacobs. Bloomington. The Bloomington Normal Trades and Labor Assembly will celebrate Workers Memorial Day with a service at 6 a.m. Monday, April 28th at White Oak Park, 1514 Cottage Avenue, Bloomington. The annual event has been held by the AFL-CIO since 1989 to honor workers who have lost their lives in on-the-job accidents or from chronic occupational exposure, according to a news release. Approximately 5,190 U.S. workers died on the job, and 120,000 people died from occupational exposure in 2021, according to the AFL-CIO. Reverend Molly Ward will give the invocation during the event, reciting over 400 names of McLean County workers who have died on the job since 1856, the news release said. Additionally, at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, April 29th, the McLean County Museum of History, 200 North Main Street in downtown Bloomington, will host a panel discussion titled The Silent Killer, Dangers of Asbestos in the Workplace. The event will be held in conjunction with the museum's exhibit, Deadly Deception, Asbestos in McLean County, which focuses on United Rubber and Asbestos Company, or UNARCO, and how the Bloomington plant wove asbestos fibers, leading to over 100 deaths from 1951 to 1972, the news release said. Panelists for the event will include Cheryl Wills, whose father died from mesothelioma at age 57 after working for UNARCO, James Walker, a local attorney who represented those plant workers and families, George Martinez, Laborers International Union of North America asbestos remediation instructor, Larry Mertes, retiree from Leuna 362, who worked at UNARCO, and Erica Wills, University of Wisconsin School for Workers assistant professor, who will give closing remarks. The panel will be moderated by Charlie Schlenker, WGLT-FM's senior reporter. The event is free and open to the public, and the museum exhibit will be open during the event. The next article is entitled Remains Found in Clinton ID'd by Drew Zimmerman. Clinton. Skeletal remains discovered in a wooded area off Weldon Springs Road in Clinton late last year have been identified by the DeWitt County coroner, Randy Rice. Using familial DNA testing, the remains were confirmed to be those of Neil Matthew McGuire, 74, formerly of Granada, Mississippi. The manner of death has been ruled a suicide, according to a news release from the coroner's office. The coroner's office had reported in January that remains had been found December 24th in a wooded area behind Arrowhead Acres. The investigation into McGuire's death has been led by the coroner's office, the DeWitt County Sheriff's Office, and the Illinois State Police's Crime Scene Investigation Unit, the news release said. Rice is asking for the public's help to locate any living relatives or friends of McGuire. Those with information should call the coroner's office at 217-935-3166. The next item is entitled Kiwanis to Sell Mother's Day Flowers by Matus Janik. Bloomington. The 16th annual Bloomington Kiwanis Mother's Day Flower Sale will be held Wednesday, May 7th through Saturday, May 10th. The fundraising event will be held from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesday through Friday and 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday at the shops at College Hills in Normal. The flowers are provided by Wendell Niepagan Greenhouse and Danville Gardens, including a wide variety of annuals, herbs, and potted plants. Hanging baskets and large planted pots will also be available. Master gardeners and local experts will be on site to help advise shoppers and share tips on how to plant with pots and how to pick the right plant for light soil conditions and more. Funds from the sales support sending local kids to Camp Limberlost at Timber Point Camp at Lake Bloomington, as well as other local children's projects. Visit bloomingtonkiwanis.org for more information. And here's another local item entitled Food Bank Sets May Distribution Dates by Olivia Jacobs. Normal. Eastern Illinois Food Bank will distribute food next month to families facing food insecurity in Normal, Farmer City, and throughout McLean County. The Normal distribution will be from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Saturday, May 17th at Normal West High School, 501 North Parkside Road, and is open to McLean County residents. The Farmer City distribution will be from 9 to 10 a.m. Saturday, May 3rd at Trinity Community Fellowship, 1300 West Clinton Avenue, and is open to DeWitt, Pyatt, and McLean County residents. The Food Bank's Foodmobile will also travel to southern McLean County on Wednesday, May 28th, including the Bellflower Public Library, 9:30 to 10 a.m., Allen Township Library, 11 to 11:30 a.m., and McLean Village Hall, 12 to 12:30 p.m. Attendees are asked to bring boxes or bags to transport food. Income guidelines will apply. The May distribution in Normal will be the second to last Eastern Illinois Food Bank will host in Bloomington Normal. Visit eifoodbank.org for more information. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for April 24th. Please stay tuned.